I really love the idea that we can get a fresh start. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes in relationships that we have here on earth, do-overs are hard to come by, aren't they? You know, not everybody will give us a do-over. You know, they should, but they don't. But I know with God, we always get a do-over. And that's the benefit of being a Christian. And because I believe He's the God of the do-overs. Now, movies tell us that failure's not an option. Have you ever seen those? I can't remember if it's Tom Cruise or whoever said that. Failure's not an option. But in the real world that you and I live in, failure happens. We all fail from time to time. We may, you know, do something wrong. We may not get something done that we're supposed to get done. Or maybe we didn't make a phone call. Or you kids are in sports, maybe you didn't make the shot that you thought you was going to make. So failure does happen. And we, many of us witnessed that on New Year's Day, didn't we? On TV. Right? You know, some people were rooting for a certain team that it just didn't work out. Just didn't work out at all. Now, some of the life lessons that you and I experience are harder than others, and they take a larger toll on our life because we all go through these emotional ebb and flows of life. It'd be nice if we live on the mountain, but sometimes we go to the valley, and that's just the way it is. And we need to get real with that and understand really what it's about. Now, as we enter this new year, you know, we can look at it from the idea of it's a year of new beginnings. You know, as a pastor here at River Life, I really feel that the Lord really spoke to me about, as I mentioned earlier, is that this is the year of the Spirit. You know, we're going to get to know the Holy Spirit a little bit better. And I believe that that's going to really change our life. And for some of you, it might be your first introduction to the things of the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, it's maybe a reintroduction. The idea of how when Jesus said, it doesn't make sense, but He said it's to our advantage that He goes away. Most of them would say, man, I wish Jesus was here. Well, Jesus is here. But He's in the form of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once, where Jesus at that time could only be one place at one time because He chose to take on an earthly body. So we need to understand the fact of the situation that we need to get to understand what the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of these are the same. Now, let's join together as we take this life-changing journey together as we read our scripture. It says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit here today. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that You are the teacher, You are the revealer, You're the one who's going to lead us and guide us to the place that we need to be. And Lord, I thank You. We take authority over any distraction, any disturbance, anything that tries to hinder the flow of the Spirit and to hold us back from God's best. And Lord, right now I just yield to that gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. If you can't say amen, say oh my, right? Sometimes when you read God's Word, it says, oh my. That's what God wants? Not there yet, but we'll get there. Point number one I want to look at is the idea of not what we have done. As it said in the Scripture, that He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done. Many times, as we look at the new year, we kind of look back and we kind of measure ourselves according to maybe other people's standards or the standards that the world has out there because our relationship with God is not based on performance. Now, we all live in a performance-based society to some degree. Hopefully, now I do believe in performance in your paycheck, amen? I believe people who do a better job should get a little more money, right? You know, but, you know, when it comes to the things of God, it's different because, you know, we're not saved on the fact of what we do, but we are blessed by what we do. And there's a difference between those two things. And sometimes we get those things confused. We get things kind of mixed up on exactly what it is, you know, that is happening, you know, in the world around us. And as we live in this function-based society, you know, we can easily, as a Christian, get off track like the Galatians did. Remember, the Apostle Paul scolded the Galatians because they started off in grace, but then all of a sudden, during the process of their walk with God, they got over into works righteousness. And so they were measuring themselves according to so-and-so. You know, so-and-so prays for 5 minutes, but I prayed for 10, so I must be more spiritual than them. See, we can easily get into that kind of thinking, and it gets us off track. And what is important that we understand, it has nothing to do with our salvation. You can never do anything good enough to get saved. And if we understand that, then we're going to start to go free. Now, sometimes, you know, as we go through this life, we feel like we fall short in life. Have you ever felt like you fall short? I have. Maybe last year. Look back at last year. Where are some things that you maybe fell short? I'm 5'8". I fall short all the time. Amen? That's just the way it is. I would have loved to have been 6 foot tall. And I was 5'9". At least it was on my driver's license there for a while. You know, but finally I felt convicted, you know, about lying on my driver's license. Has anybody ever lied on their driver's license? Maybe the weight, maybe not the height part, but the weight part. You know, I don't know. That's my faith weight right there. That's what I want to be. It's not what I really am. But see, falling short is part of life, and that's what we do. And what happens when we fall short is that, you know, it frustrates us. Now, me at 5'8", I very seldom hit my head, but I do have trouble reaching things. You know, so there's a trade-off, you know, in the life that we have from time to time. Now, as we're functioning and trying to go through this life, is that if we allow the feeling of falling short, you know, we wake up and, you know, there's a lot to do about self-talk. We're not going to go into that today. But you know how you talk to yourself, right? Now, some people talk bad to themselves. They say, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to measure up. I'm not as good as so-and-so. And so, be honest, if we talk to our friends like we talk to ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends. Sometimes. Because we trash talk ourselves. We hold ourselves down. And all the things, you know, and we gotta get beyond that, because if we always feel that we fall short, then it may get us to the place in our life that I'm not even going to try anymore. I may just quit. You know, most people set goals, and a small percentage of them really achieve the goal sometimes. And if we're of the persuasion that we always fail at setting goals and things like this, or maybe some things that we want to do in life, you know, we can allow that to cloud our thinking on who it is that we really are. And we need to get beyond that. Now, the scripture there talked about the idea in our next point of washing of regeneration. Now, we're going to flip some Christianese on you today, or some Christian lingo. Maybe the word regeneration is not part of your normal vocabulary. You know, I can't think of anything outside the Bible that I really talk about that too much. But regeneration is just a big word that talks about the inner cleansing by transformation. Now, transformation is one of those good words that we enjoy. It's the old, caterpillar to butterfly deal. You know, most of us feel like a caterpillar, but we really want to be a butterfly. You know, we want to fly, but we just see ourselves crawling on the ground. But see, through Jesus Christ, the idea of regeneration, what he does, he comes in and he makes a change in our life. And that's really what it talks about, being born again. And as I've always said, you know, I love the terminology born again. Some people go converted. You know, I've been converted. Okay, that's cool. But I like the idea of saying it, I've been born again. Because it's that new life. It's a new life of Jesus Christ that comes in, and where we get that fresh start. I don't know about you, but I was a sinner. I was a dirty sinner. I did a lot of things wrong. I did a lot of things bad. A lot of things I wish I had never done. But I do know this, when I got regenerated, it was like I never did them. Because I got a fresh start with Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God my wife forgives me sometimes. But my wife, I don't know about you, my wife doesn't always forget. Hello. God forgets. God forgets. When we repent, and we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, God, oh, he could remember if he wanted to. He has the ability. But he also has the grace and the mercy upon our life, where He chooses to forget all the things that we've done because of the power that's in the blood of Jesus. And when we allow that regeneration to take place in our life, I want to read a quote here, because the new birth is talking about being made spiritually alive to God. I read this and it says, "Salvation depends solely and completely on God's grace. It is displayed in God's mercy, and it is revealed and achieved by His Son, Jesus Christ. And then it is applied to humankind by the Holy Spirit." How important is it to get to know the Holy Spirit? Jesus is where right now? I mean, we tell little kids He's living in our heart, and yeah, it is by faith. But the Bible says Jesus physically is sitting where? At the right hand of the Father. That's right. So Jesus is in heaven with the Father. Who's here right now? Well, the devil is. But he ain't nobody, right? Because we got authority over him through what Jesus did. He still messes with us. I don't deny that. But God the Spirit is here today. He's working us. And when we're born again, we're saved both by the Word and by the Spirit. And the Spirit comes into our life and He regenerates us. And that makes us new. And, you know, like I said, I used to be degenerate. I admit that. I was a degenerate, but now I'm a regenerate. Amen? Because Jesus Christ has regenerated me and made me new. Now, some of you have maybe tried to regenerate yourself. I'm going to try it for a minute. You guys can try it in your seat. Try to regenerate yourself. I can't. Why? Well, I can change the way I do things, but I can never regenerate myself. I can never make myself new. I don't have that power. But God does. God regenerates us and makes us new. Now, we know that we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. So it's a spirit man is the part of us that's regenerated. Now we're going to look at the part that needs to be renewed, because the Scripture told about both things. Washing of regeneration and then renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now as you get older, when I was young, I never thought about being made new as much. There's a lot of new pieces in my body I would like new right now. You know what I mean? I'd love to have some things new. I praise God for His grace. It helps me along the way. But we're going to look now by renewing by the Holy Spirit. Renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're renewed by the Holy Spirit, what that's talking about is the idea of how the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Now, here's what I love about God versus religion. Religion says, you got to do this and you got to do that, right? Alyssa will do it. She's a good little girl. When you're asleep, right? You're a good little girl. That's an old one. I tell them all on Wednesday night, you're a good kid when you're asleep. My grandpa told me that. And that was true. I was only good when I was asleep. But the idea of being renovation, many of you have maybe done some construction or maybe fixed up your house. Maybe you tore out some walls. You did some remodeling. And when you're renovating, it's kind of a mess. But the end product is really awesome. You can take some old shack and really make a mansion out of it, man. And we're an old shack when we get started off, because we're separated from God. We're a dirty old sinner, but I'll tell you what, when we get saved, we're a new person in Christ. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and live in trash. Oh, no. He won't come and live in trash. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we're a temple. The Bible says we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. On how the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you and me. And everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. So salvation is an experience. Now some churches don't believe it's an experience. They believe you got to go through a couple classes. You know what I mean? You got to take this class. And when you complete this class and you go to this class, then after that, we're going to sprinkle you with a little water. Then after that, if you give a little bit of extra money here, you can be saved. Huh. That's not how it works in the Bible. No. The real way is the fact that it's an experience. When you choose to surrender your life to Christ and you come to Christ and you say, Jesus, take control of my life. I want to make you my Lord. Well, there's the start. That's when your spirit is regenerated. But how many have ever done that and then they walked out the door and they made a mistake again? Besides Pam. Well, Jeff said you did. I don't know what he's saying. You know, if you want to talk about it later, we can. You know, I don't. We all have, haven't we? We've all made a mistake. We've went out there and we've messed up. Why? Because our soul, our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions, that's the part of us that's going through the renovation process. That's the part of us that God is still working on today, that He's making a difference in our life, and little by little. See, you can tell somebody to quit doing something, but until they decide to do it themselves, they probably won't do it. And I'll tell you, I've found out in my life, people have told me to stop doing something, and I'll rebel, but I'll tell you, when God tells me, and He gives me the grace, and He gives me the power to overcome, I never, ever thought I could ever quit drinking. Never in my life. It had a power over me. But one night, November 5th, 1983, when I decided I wanted Jesus more than I wanted this, He took that taste away. And that's a testimony to God's power. Now, you may still drink. I'm not throwing stones or anything. But for me, it was a stumbling block. It was holding me back to what God had for my life. And I knew I had to put that down because it was going to destroy me. Now, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I would have been if I probably kept 30 years later, you know, no telling where I'd be. I'd have probably been buried somewhere, out in the back 40 somewhere. Because that's just the way it was for me. Anything I do all the way. And when I drank, I went all the way. And I knew that was destroying me. So I decided, I want Jesus more. If somebody would have told me, you can't come to this church if you quit doing that, until you quit doing that, well, I wouldn't have been ever in a church. And to be honest, folks, I went to church a year before I actually got saved. And I'm a slow learner. Don't know. But when I got it, I got it.
Amen.
No counterfeit. Nothing. It was a legitimate experience with God and how He changed my life. And then after that process of the cleansing of my soul and starting to take things away, and He's still working on me. There's a lot of things in my life that's not where it needs to be yet. But I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep growing and letting God take control of my life, so that we can get to the place we need to be. Now, as we talk about the soul, and you know, renewing means change. And that change is taking place in our life. Now, you know, change to me means that we're in transition. You know, have you ever been in transition? You know, some people don't like transition, and some people don't transition well. You know, maybe they're kind of like things, they're a controlling spirit to some degree, and they like everything just set a certain way, and once you change a little bit, oh, everything just gets all freaky, get mad, messing with my stuff. You know, that's the way it is, though, sometimes. You know, we got to let God mess with our stuff, because He's good. He won't hurt us. He's not mean about it. He just lets us go, and then finally He says, okay, over here, this is a little better. And, you know, to me, transition means that we're in between. Have you ever been in between? Maybe you're here today and you're in between jobs. And a lot of times when you're in between jobs, there's more month than money. That can be a scary place, can't it? But you're in transition. Maybe you got let go. Maybe that job just wasn't for you. And you know there's something better out there. And that transition place is a little bit concerning from time to time. Or maybe you're here today and you're in between relationships. And that happens, doesn't it? Maybe you're single today, and maybe you didn't used to be. And that's hard because you're lonely. Everybody needs somebody. And maybe you're in that place in your life where you're in between, so it's kind of a transition. You're here, and you need to get over there, but I don't know how to get over there. It's hard getting there because you've never been on that road before. I praise God for Google Maps, amen? But sometimes there's no Google Map going to get you from here to there. because we're in transition. And that's why we need God. And maybe sometimes when we're in transition, we get in between the rock and the hard place. You know, we've all been there. Nowhere to go. If you go this way, it just seems like nothing there. You go this way, nothing there. Don't know what to do. Best thing you do is just seek God. As He's the only one who's going to give you that answer you need. And to get you out of that transition. Now, transition's okay because if you really accept it, back to Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, this is your mission if you choose to accept it, is that you're always going to be in transition now. Ever since the day you got saved, you're in transition. Because God is always changing us. He wants us to grow up. And you know, I thank God for that, because that in between is a little bit scary. And I do know that, you know, that in between is as we're following God and understanding how God is working a purpose in our life, because we know that He wants us to be somewhere. But I found out when I'm in the transition is that I need to be willing to give up the now so I can get to the next. See, we're comfortable with the now, even though the now may not be perfect, but we know what the now is like. You know, maybe you're in a bad relationship. Maybe somebody's treating you bad, and you don't want to get out of that relationship because you're scared. So you're going to stay in the now because you're scared because you don't know what the next is. But see, this is the new year, new you. We want to get from the now to the next. Because everybody has a next. As God is leading us and bringing us through that process of change in our soul, we're in the now and we want to get to the next. So we got to learn how to follow Him and maybe be able to change somewhat of the processes that we do in life. Because, you know, the journey, it's a journey, and that journey takes us to our destination. Now, when we're on this journey and the destination, some people, we get to the place where we might want to say, I'm tempted, is that this is how I am, and I'm not going to change. Have you ever had somebody tell you that? Have you ever said that to yourself? We all have, haven't we? Well, this is how I am. Take it or leave it. See ya. And all your friends are gone. See, that will hold us in the now, and we'll never get to the next with that kind of thinking. And this is the one that really makes my skin crawl, is that, oh, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. Yeah, right. Unless we are obedient and follow God to the next, we're always going to stay in the now. You're going to have to learn to survive in the now. But see, God has something better in the next, and that's why we got to be able to walk away from that. Then a cute one is, accept me as I am. You know, we all do that, right? It's kind of similar to the other one. And that, what I always like to tell people is that God does accept us as we are. He accepted me that night, but He didn't expect me to stay that way. See, that's what we have to remember, is that God is on our side because God is inside us by the Holy Spirit. And He is always wanting us to go through that transition, that process of change, where change is starting to happen in our life, where some things that we thought were so important before, as we follow God, we found out those things are not important, and the things that did not used to be important to us, now they are important. That's part of the transition. It's part of the change. It's part of who we are now as a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And that's why we need to never settle for what we accept as normal behavior. And I've always said, we need a new normal. You know, what's normal for us, if we're not getting where we need to be, then we need a new normal. We don't need to accept the normal as it is right now. if we're not getting to the place we know that God wants us to be, you know, we need that new normal. You know, that means we need to definitely define and refine where it is that God wants us to be. What is it that we need to change in our life? What is it that we need to change? I want to get up and pray in the morning. Well, then don't stay up till 2 in the morning playing games or watching TV. Amen? You need to define and refine what needs to be changed. What was meant to be, it'll be. If God wants me to pray, I'll pray. Nobody will pray. Because your flesh ain't going to let you. Because when you pray, your flesh puts it to death. And the flesh wants to control our life. Now the world says, have you ever had this? Now, we mean well when we say this, but don't get your hopes up. Have you ever had that one? What? Don't get your hopes up. Is it wrong to hope? I really believe that, you know, we've all went through that because don't get your hopes up because why? You'll be disappointed. And nobody wants to be disappointed. But disappointment happens. I've been disappointed. I'll be honest, I've gotten, I don't want to say mad at God, but I got disappointed at God. It was my fault, but I kind of felt what God should have done this faster. Have you ever thought of that one? You know, God, you got to do this faster. You know, but God's doing a work in me, and the work in me works better because he's going according to his timetable. But me, I'm in a hurry because I got stuff to do, man. You know, I want to get to the next spot. So then as I'm along this process, I get disappointed because things didn't happen the way that I wanted or the way I thought they turned out. But I do remember what brings me back to reality is that God is the God of hope. And we need to get our hopes up in God. And when we get our hopes up in God, then we can be able to experience it, what it is he's wanting to do. So how do we apply these things? Firstly, we got to define our new normal. What is your new normal? You need to settle that for yourself. I mean, you got to find out where you're at now. And if you're not where you need to be, so you need to maybe change. Maybe you need to change your friends. I did. Before I got saved, I knew I had to get out of Albia. I was going to die. I know that sounds stupid, but I for some reason I thought I had to go another place, and I did. And that worked for me because that was God's plan for my life because that's where I went to Bible school and things like that. But, you know, maybe you just need to separate yourself from certain people in your life because they're keeping you normal when you need to be a new normal. And they're holding you back. Maybe some new normal, and this is going to be an advertisement for the church, praise God. Maybe you need to set a goal of trying to go to church every week. Average Christian in America goes twice a month. I don't know about you. That pastors must be real good. If they can get enough in two times a month, man, that guy must be really good. Because there ain't nothing I can give you twice a month going to help you through the whole month. You know, I'm halfway decent, but I know I'm not that good. So it's all about connection and staying connected with other people. You know, let iron sharpen iron and get to know other people and understand. And that talks about getting involved and building relationships. That idea of connection makes us stronger. And back about once a week, maybe you got to work on a Sunday. You're busy on a Sunday. Well, come on Wednesday night. Then people don't bite in there. Right? They don't bite. You have a good time of fellowship with them. You know, read your Bible. Pray every day. You know, set aside a little bit of time. You know, don't try to read through the whole Bible in one day. You'll quit. Especially when you get to some of the Old Testament books where it talks about the genealogies. That'll be different. But bite-sized pieces. And working out every week or every day or a little bit, whatever works for you. You know, find something. Some of the most successful CEOs are also workoutaholics to some degree. Because that drive in them, it carries over into their natural life because they're disciplined in what they do. Now, in closing, I just want to ask you a question. You know, 2015 was a good year. I ain't going to lie. It was decent. But if you could define 2015 overall, was it a triumph or was it a tragedy in your life? Was it overall triumphant, where you achieved everything that you wanted, or was it sort of tragedy? And one thing that I love about God, if maybe it wasn't what you needed, is that the best thing about the new year and any time with God is the fact that you can recreate yourself with God's help. And this is the greatest experience that I have, you know, revelation that I've received from God in the last 4 or 5 years, is the fact that I know that no matter what goes on in life, that I can be able to recreate myself in the way that God wants me to be by yielding to Him. So 2016 needs to speak to 2015 right now. And you need to do this. You can tell it, thanks for all that you've taught me, but I'm going to start fresh this year. See, you learned a lot of things in 2015. Some of those good things you need to bring on over. But those things that were maybe tragedy, you need to leave them behind. And you need to bury them right now. Maybe you need to repent. Repent's that thing that we don't like doing, but it's the best thing you can do. When we repent, it's a turnaround. And when we repent, we get that fresh start. That's when the blood of Jesus comes in. And it washes us and makes us clean. And as we look at the idea of 2016 being the year of the Spirit, you know, decide right now that I am going to get to know the Holy Spirit better. One of the greatest relationships that I've ever experienced is that of the Holy Spirit. Because I will say this, He's with me every step of the way. I enjoy spending time with my wife and kids. But, you know, compared to the idea of the Holy Spirit and what He does in my life, is this powerful. With every head bowed and eye closed,